And greetings once again. Welcome. Bienvenidos. Hola. Aloha. Anyhow. Namaste. Konnichiwa. Bonjour, buongiorno, guten tag, half a day, salam, shalom. Peace now, go vegan. Peace now, go vegan. What do we want? Animal liberation. When do we want it? Now, go vegan. Peace now, go vegan. So, animal liberation, go vegan. Better health, go vegan. Environmental sustainability, go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical vivisection prison, killitary industrial corporation in the bribocratic corruptocracy of the United Steaks of Listeria, ooh, with cheese. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, without cheese, the planet's first vegan radio show, hijacking the airwaves of the mainstream corporate media for your own good. Listen, this is for your own good. I'm already vegan. Anyway, maybe now with Valentine's Day upon us, maybe we can take a moment away from the total violence of our society. Can we escape the violence for a moment? After all, you know, you are what you eat. And with a diet of total violence literally on our plates, on your plates, since I'm completely vegan, yeah, a moment away from violence for Valentine's Day would be great. How could a lobster dinner be romantic or a steak dinner? Just eating body parts? For Valentine's Day, we're trying, if possible. But we're also draped in violence, literally there too. Fur and leather and wool and silk. Hopefully not on your Valentine's shopping list. Go to Follow Your Heart. If you're looking for a good Valentine's gift, go to Follow Your Heart in Canoga Park. Maybe this year we can stay away from violence in our celebration of romance, huh? And move closer to love for Valentine's Day. Maybe find a way to entertain yourself away from violence, even though, of course, we have violence being so intrusive in our entertainment also. I mean your entertainment, not mine. I'm vegan. But hunting and circuses and zoos and captive aquatic animal parks and rodeos and bullfights and dogfights and cockfights and did you hear that in the news that Amazon is going to continue to sell cockfighting magazines? It's saying freedom of speech, and HSUS says we're going to sue you for doing that. But anyway, if we can get away from the violence for a moment, huh, as Valentine's Day approaches, I don't know, maybe not, because when it comes down to it, even Cupid, there he is with a bow and arrow. So is there really any getting away from violence at all? Huh? I don't know. But anyway, I guess I'm just being so romantically poetic because I'm just being so...
Oh, new one. I know, and you're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
Yes, and with that in mind, today, in my unapologetic quest to garner huge ratings in sweeps month, it's Bob Linden, the vegan love doctor, okay? Matters of the heart, a healthy sex life, aphrodisia, fertility, even disgust, huh? All to be examined, yes. And the vegan love doctor makes house calls, you know? The vegan love doctor. Oh, wait a second, I'm not a doctor, wait. Milton Mills, MD, is. So we'll talk to him about all that stuff. Do people still fall in love anyway? And occasionally love does seem to conquer all, doesn't it? But when it does, why does it produce a nation of Jerry Springer audiences? Or the Bush twins? Or Dick Cheney and Lynn Cheney's demonic seeds? Huh? How does that happen? Maybe people are just still looking for love in all the wrong places. And you know, when I was a romantic idealist, I was always searching for the affection component, you know, similar to what I always felt for puppies, you know. And as it turns out, puppy love, you know, I think that's really where it's at, you know. Forget the singles bars, the karaoke bars, the yoga studios, you know, you can find love right now at the pound. So please adopt and spay and neuter. You'll be in just the sweetest love, you know. I do a lot of dog sitting, house sitting, and I'm doing that this week, and I really can't wait to get back to the house, to the most loving and affectionate being of beings, you know. So if you do want love in your life, you know, just head to the pound. It's there waiting for you. You know, when you think of it, we spend $500 billion on a military budget annually in this country. $500 billion, that's like $500 billion spent on hate, isn't it? Our priorities are just the furthest thing from love here. You know, now, if we were to take that money and pay people a living wage to care for animals, to love animals, to love, you know, a couple of dogs, a couple of cats, rabbits, you know, spend $500 billion on that, and then I think we'd really create a loving society, you know, and that would happen in no time, you know, more than any Hallmark card or a bouquet of flowers on Valentine's Day ever could. Besides, Cupid has a bow and arrow. He's violent. And yeah, there was the St. Valentine's Day massacre. Oh, violence, red blood. Actually, there'll be a march on UCLA with that theme. I'll tell you about it a little bit later in the hour. Also, Valentine's Day is Pet Theft Awareness Day, so we will talk about that too in this hour. And as I said, we have coming up Dr. Milton Mills on matters of the heart and a healthy sex life, etc. So I do ask you to show your love with a donation to support this show so that the animals have a voice on the radio. And you can donate online at goveganradio.com or goveganradio.org, as Go Vegan Radio is a project of 501c3 International Humanities Center, so your donations are tax deductible to the extent allowable by law. Also, you can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and send it to P.O. Box 40246, San Diego, California, 92164. And since Valentine's Day is coming up, and I looked around for a few CDs hanging around the CD player and some of the songs that I used to play when I was a program director in radio, some of the love songs, and I thought maybe as bumper music today, we'll just do love songs and bring a little more love into your life here on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. This must be love. All right. Well, Valentine's Day approaches, and you can celebrate it with Follow Your Heart's Valentine's Day celebration. Well, coming up actually this coming Wednesday, which is the day itself, it's Evie's Vegan Valentine's Day Dinner, served from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. And you have a savory sweet with sautéed baby spinach, roasted portobello mushrooms, sprinkled with pomegranate sauce. I'm going through all the abbreviations in this heart on the flyer here. It's like, okay, you'll know palm sauce is pomegranate. Marinated, broiled with tofu, sun-dried tomato, and fresh basil cream filling, glazed acorn squash, sauteed seasoned asparagus and pepper sauce, and beet apple and assorted vegetable salad. The price includes super salad at $19.99, and available there too, you can get a chocolate raspberry sweetheart cake for $18.99 or a heart-shaped fruit tort at $19.99. So, yes, you got to go through the abbreviations on the heart on the flyer here. ASP, I figured that to be asparagus, huh? Not too many other vegetables start with ASP. Okay. Now, coming up for Saturday the 17th, you can be celebrating Valentine's at that time too, with a special French toast brunch served 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. That's French toast stuffed with cream cheese and apricot preserves, topped with strawberries and pure maple syrup, served with vegetarian sausage links and sliced melon. And this is available non-dairy, and you would be having the vegan gourmet cream cheese that Follow Your Heart makes and has at the restaurant there, and we hope we'll be in stores soon. I keep calling Bob Goldberg, when will the vegan cream cheese come out? So yes, vegan brunch there, and also a Valentine's Day dinner served from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. That's coming up next Saturday also, the February 17th. Stuffed manigot filled with non-dairy asparagus mousse topped with fresh herbed white sauce, served with a grilled artichoke topped with a non-dairy lemon sauce and the chef's special homemade garlic bread and your choice of soup or a special baby spinach salad with roasted peppers, almonds, and blueberry vinaigrette. That's $16.95. And dessert, back by popular demand, served 4 to 9 p.m. Saturday, February 17th, chocolate crepes. Chocolate crepes filled with chocolate mousse topped with chocolate sauce and fresh raspberries. And that's just $4.95. All of this happening at Follow Your Heart Natural Foods Market and Restaurant, which is at 21825 Sherman Way, Canoga Park. The phone number 818-348-3240, and open 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. And you can go to followyourheart.com.
Going to give it to people. Animal burgers.
Well, why would they do that when there are sunshine burgers, huh? That's what the people need to be eating, sunshine burgers. They've been around since 1983, and now they're available nationally, and it's your turn to discover the delicious simplicity of organic vegan ingredients with protein-packed sunshine burgers. It's protein from the sunflower, energy from the sun. Sunshine burgers, simply delicious, with simple ingredients like the original certified organic ground raw sunflower seeds, brown rice, carrots, herbs, and sea salt. That's it. Totally delicious. And you can try the organic zesty Southwestern Sunshine Burger, which is ground raw sunflower seeds, brown rice, carrots, black beans, bell peppers, cilantro, garlic, jalapeno, cumin seed, onion, and sea salt. That's wonderful too. So look for Sunshine Burgers in the frozen food section of your natural foods market, where you'll also find the barbecue sunshine burger with natural smoke flavor. No soy, no wheat, gluten-free sunshine burgers. And they are oven-baked, pre-cooked, so you just heat them and serve them, and you will love them. Sunshine burgers. Ah, love for Valentine's, huh? And by the way, if you're having any trouble locating sunshine burgers at your natural foods market, talk to the manager. Make sure that they are on hand, because you'll love them. The kids will love them, too.
Thank you.
doing then?
And loved by you.
And it would hurt.
And it would hurt.
Hurt to
know.
If you ever were true.
Sweeter than the taste.
Of a cherry
so sweet.
Yeah,
and I'm so proud.
Oh, the mic is on, Leo.
I'm so proud.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, there's a favorite love song of mine. Oh, I've loved that through the years. I'm so proud. I used to play a version by Todd Rundgren on the radio. See, that was... How could I work after a career in radio? I chose all the music that got on the radio stations, and then I played it, you know, on the air, and just turned up the speakers in the studio and sang full blast. Whew. How do you work after a career like that? You don't. You get active on behalf of animals and do a vegan radio show. And that's what we're doing today, believe it or not. As we come up on Valentine's Day, we're going to talk to Dr. Milton Mills, who's a graduate of the Stanford University School of Medicine and practices at Fairfax Hospital in Virginia, and free clinics throughout the Washington, D.C. area also. He's often active in campaigns for the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, and Dr. Mills is actually the lead plaintiff in PCRM's class action lawsuit that asks for warning labels on milk. So, welcome, Dr. Mills. It's great to have you here today.
It's good to be here.
Thank you so much. Well, with Valentine's Day approaching, perhaps, and you know, we talk about affairs of the heart, maybe we should think in terms of a healthy heart also. So maybe we'll start there and what your recommendations might be for our healthy hearts.
Well, medical research has shown conclusively that a plant-based diet is the healthiest diet you can consume for your heart, but not only for your heart, it also lowers risk for all of the major chronic diseases that tend to afflict people in Western countries, such as diabetes, obesity, and a number of different cancers. So for the healthiest heart possible, a vegetarian or vegan diet is absolutely the prescription I would recommend.
Mm-hmm. And you've become vegan yourself. When did that happen?
Well, I converted to vegetarianism over 30 years ago. Actually, it was September of 1974. I won't say how old I was. I was rather young, but that's when I made the change.
Mm-hmm. And what prompted that?
Well, actually, it was a combination of things. It was I had become a Seventh-day Adventist approximately a year before, and the Seventh-day Adventist Church recommends that its members adopt a vegetarian diet. It doesn't require it, but they do recommend it as being the most natural and therefore healthiest diet for humans. And it was something that I had looked into and became convinced that, in fact, it was healthier for me. But I had grown up eating meat, and I just thought I couldn't live without it. And so for a long time, I kind of debated as to whether or not I should go ahead and do it, even though I was convinced that, in fact, it would be the healthiest diet for me. But it came to a point where I became convinced that if I had a better diet, I would have a cleaner and clearer mind, and therefore be able to communicate with God better. And so for both health and spiritual reasons, I decided to change.
And then you've stayed with it and find...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. And that's what you recommend to your patients, too, obviously, and for all sorts of reasons, as you mentioned. And with it being the approaching Valentine's Day, I wonder if diet has any effect related to fertility, impotence, a healthy sex life. What would you say about that?
Oh, well, again, there is a number of different research papers showing that a diet that's high in animal fat and animal protein and meat predisposes one to developing erectile dysfunction. Because and it actually works in a couple of different ways. It's very easy to imagine that the same process that clogs up the arteries in your heart, that is, you know, when you have a diet that's high in meat and animal fat and cholesterol, and that clogs up the arteries in the heart, can also clog up the arteries that supply the sex organs. And if blood can't get to the sex organs, that will obviously cause all sorts of problems. But there is an additional way in which it creates problems, and that is that in order for a man to become, let's just say tumescent, the arteries supplying his sex organ have to dilate and allow increased blood flow. And the way that happens is the cells lining the arteries that supply the male penis manufacture a compound called nitrous oxide from a amino acid called L-arginine. Well, it turns out that diets that are high in fat actually interfere with that process. They don't permit the cells lining the arteries to, in fact, manufacture the nitrous oxide. And hello?
Hi, we're here.
Yeah, okay. And as a result, they don't. The arteries don't respond. They don't dilate. You don't get the sort of effect that one would hope for. In addition to that, there are a number of different plant foods, such as legumes, beans, peanuts, and other foods that are actually very high in L-arginine. And many people think that these foods actually can function as sort of a natural Viagra, because the way in which Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, which are the drugs prescribed for erectile dysfunction, work is by increasing the manufacture of nitrous oxide by the arteries that supply the penis. And so, by eliminating the fat and the meat from your diet, one, you eliminate any difficulty your arteries might have manufacturing their own nitrous oxide, but in addition, by having a diet that's high in plant proteins, you supply the abundant levels of the amino acid that is actually used to make this nitrous oxide.
So going vegan is the true Viagra?
Well, I certainly think the research supports the realization. I mean that it helps promote and preserve normal erectile function, and there's even evidence that shows that men who eat a more plant-based diet tend to be more fertile than their meat-eating counterparts, because the antioxidants and phytochemicals in the plant foods apparently actually promote healthier sperm, and so the studies have shown that men who eat a plant-based diet tend to have healthier, more vigorous sperm, and therefore they tend to be more fertile. And what's interesting is that when you look around the world at the most populous nations on the planet, they're countries that consume a primarily plant-based diet, such as India and China and other Asian nations.
Well, then we better be careful, because then we may prescribe a birth control by eating meat, you know? I mean.
Well, that could be true. That certainly could be true.
Yeah. Well, and isn't it amazing, though, that in our society we think, well, eat like a man, it means, you know, have a steak, you know?
Yeah, that's unfortunate that the idea that, you know, eating unhealthy foods is somehow manly. I mean, it's just an unfortunate artifact of the sort of society that we live in, because you have, you know, animal-based agribusiness that is very eager to encourage people to consume the products that they produce. And so they find that one of the ways in which they get people to do that is by getting them to believe that they're going to be, you know, more attractive, more sexy, or more virile or potent by eating their products, when in fact the exact opposite is the case.
Wow, that's amazing. So, that's kind of interesting. Also, you have a discussion basically that's related to meat eating and the biology of disgust. And I wanted to touch on that. I know that was your topic at the World Vegetarian Day with the San Francisco Vegetarian Society. And
right.
You know, when I see a piece of meat or a hamburger commercial on TV, I'm repulsed and disgusted. Why isn't everybody? I don't understand.
Well, what's very, very interesting is that when you look at the phenomenon of disgust in human beings, one of the things that becomes clear is that disgust is something that is hardwired into our brains. This is, now of course it can be modified by, you know, culture and socialization, but psychologists have, and psychiatrists have determined that the phenomenon of disgust is actually a basic human trait. And when researchers have looked at what sorts of things elicit a disgust response from people across, you know, across cultures and around the world, it's very interesting that certain qualities or certain characteristics tend to make the list in all societies. Because, you know, obviously there are certain things that, you know, one person may find disgusting and say somebody else may not, or, you know, someone in another country may not. But when you actually whole people from, you know, various countries and various cultures, there are a number of things that tend to make the list in every, you know, amongst all humans. And what are those qualities? Well, the things that all humans tend to find disgusting are things that are, you know, putrid or rotten or foul, or things that are bloody, things that are soft or mushy or squishy, things that are covered with hair or, you know, any kind of animal effluent. What, you know, I realized when I looked at that list was that those are the qualities of raw flesh, of raw animal flesh. It's mushy, it's squishy, it's bloody. If you let it sit out for any length of time, it will start to putrefy and rot. So what I realize is that the reason that human beings have to extensively modify animal flesh in order to make it acceptable is so that we can try and circumvent our disgust response to it. You know, people will say, oh, I'm a carnivore, oh, I'm a big meat eater. But the fact is that if you just ripped a big, ragged, wet, slimy, bloody piece of meat out of an animal and slapped it down in front of someone, most people would, you know, run away in revulsion and would not find it desirable or appetizing at all. So what we do to kind of circumvent this disgust response is people will then, you know, sort of cut and shape the animal parts so that they kind of resemble, you know, plant parts, so that they're rounded, they're smooth, they're kind of hand-sized objects. We then cook it so that instead of being moist and squishy and mushy, it becomes more firm like the tissues of plants. And we even season it, that is, try to impart the flavors of a variety of different plant compounds to the meat so that it is more acceptable to us. I mean, that's a really, really telling phenomenon. I mean, you know, you don't see lions on the savannah running around sprinkling garlic and rosemary, you know, on the antelope that they killed. I mean, they don't need it. They don't desire it. All they need is the smell of blood. But for us, in order to make meat more acceptable and, in essence, taste better, we have to try and make it taste like plants. And in so doing, we're trying to get around that natural disgust response we have to animal flesh.
Sure. Well, you know, when I was first becoming vegetarian myself in 1971, I was cooking a chicken one night, and I saw the body, and I got really repulsed, but I also felt sorry for, you know, who it was. I thought, you know, this has been hidden from me. Usually, meat comes packaged as, it's a nondescript cutlet. It's round. You know, it doesn't look like the original source, you know?
Right, so, absolutely.
So it's the grinding, it's the sauces, it's all of that goes into it. And, or else we would just be totally repulsed.
Right. Well, you know, something I found very, very telling was, I think about a week ago, there was, you know, reports all over the news about some guy who went out duck hunting, and he shot a bunch of ducks and took them home and stuck them in his refrigerator. And when his wife opened the refrigerator door, apparently one of the poor creatures was actually not dead. It was only wounded. And so, you know, she then took the bird out, gave it a name, patched it up, and sent it off someplace to become someone's pet. And what that said to me is that, you know, you're exactly right, that we do, you know, we do all sorts of things to animals to sort of distance the meat that we eat from the actual animal that it came from. You know, we cut it up, we skin it, we package it in certain ways, but that whenever we are forced to confront the, you know, sort of the living creature, oftentimes we have a much more difficult time, you know, killing and consuming that creature, because it's no longer a piece of meat. It's an actual living being. And it's just a shame that we don't make that mental connection more often.
Yeah, too bad meat eaters don't have to kill their own animals, and then we'd see how many people go vegetarian if they had to do the dirty work, which is hidden from them behind windowless walls at the slaughterhouse.
Certainly.
Yeah. So now you were involved with the lawsuit that asked for warning labels on milk.
Right. Yeah. Right. Because it actually turns out that the majority of African Americans, Asian Americans, Native Americans, and even Hispanics are intolerant of the lactose, the sugar that is in milk, and when they drink milk or milk products that contain milk contain lactose, will develop severe symptoms of lactose intolerance.
What are those symptoms?
It's cramping, bloating, diarrhea, severe diarrhea. You know. All sorts of gas, and it's a very, very unpleasant experience. And, you know, but many people are not aware that the reason that they don't know that the reason that they are getting these symptoms are because they're drinking a product that their body really cannot digest. It turns out that not only people of color, but the majority of people worldwide, once most humans become adults, our body stops making an enzyme called lactase, which is necessary in order to digest and absorb lactose, which is the sugar that's in milk. It's only amongst European populations, primarily, where the consumption of dairy foods has been going on for several thousand years, that those populations have selected for individuals who, instead of stopping or ceasing to make the lactase enzymes as most humans do, they actually will make the lactase enzyme throughout their lives, and therefore they're able to eat dairy foods without a problem. But, you know, for most non-Europeans, that's not the case, and when they eat these foods, they will have these severe and very unpleasant and very uncomfortable symptoms. And so, given that this is such a problem with most people of color,
lactose intolerance, though, it's not like a disease, right? It's kind of the natural.
It's the way actually nature really intended, or you could even say that God intended that, you know, once you were weaned, you wouldn't have been drinking milk and shouldn't have any need for milk or milk-based products, and therefore you don't need to make an enzyme that you wouldn't be using, because from a sort of energy standpoint, that's a very expensive process in the body to go through the trouble of manufacturing an enzyme that is no longer useful. So as a result, most adult mammals stop making the lactase enzyme once they are weaned and become mature animals, and that's true of most humans as well.
So they don't need to pop a pill or a lactate or something and say, "Oh, I'm lactose intolerant. I have a disease. I need medication for it, or I need."
Well, no, exactly. I mean, because it's a natural state of being. And what's more important is that the dairy industry has been very effective at convincing people that they need to drink milk or eat dairy foods in order to get calcium. But in fact, that is not science, that's marketing. As we know, cow's milk has plenty of calcium in it, but cows don't drink milk. So where does that calcium come from? It comes from green leafy vegetables. And we can get the calcium from green leafy vegetables exactly the same way that cows do. There are calcium is widely distributed throughout all sorts of plant foods. Green leafy vegetables, nuts, legumes, a number of different plant foods are loaded with calcium. And unlike milk and other dairy foods, not only does it have calcium, but it doesn't have things like fat and hormone residues and all the other problems that are associated with consuming dairy.
And so, talking about disgust, I mean, milk has blood and pus and tuberculosis and leukemia and all. I mean, that's kind of repulsive too, or disgusting.
Right. Well, and then also, I just want to point out that no study has ever shown that drinking milk or eating dairy foods will protect your bones or protect you from osteoporosis. In fact, when you look worldwide, the nations that consume the most dairy foods per capita have the highest incidence of osteoporosis, that is weak bones. And part of the reason is that milk cow's milk and other sort of animal milks are so high in protein that all of that excess protein actually causes your body to lose calcium in your urine. And in fact, when you look at the average American diet, drinking a glass of milk will actually put you in negative calcium balance, because when the average American drinks a glass of milk, all of the protein in that glass of milk combined with the other animal protein they're already eating will cause them to lose more calcium in their urine than they will actually absorb from that glass of milk. So it does not get you ahead. And that's one of the reasons that diets that are high in meat and other animal foods cause kidney stones, because all of that calcium circulating in the kidney can sometimes precipitate out and cause stones. And that's also why, you know, even though people say, oh, you drink your milk, there's still these recommendations that you take, you know, 800 to 1200 milligrams of calcium in tablet form. And the reason is because people know that you're going to end up losing much more calcium in your urine from all this animal protein than you'll gain from drinking the milk. And so the plant sources of calcium are much better sources because, one, they don't have the protein that causes you to lose the calcium in your urine, so you don't end up in negative balance. But in addition, they're low in fat and high in antioxidants and other compounds that actually promote better health.
Well, with milk being such a health risk, I guess the milk industry does have an amazing marketing campaign
because
people are swallowing it, you know.
But it's marketing. It's not science.
Mm-hmm. And so milk should come with a warning label then, you think?
Yes, it absolutely should. It should, you know, you can't even buy aspirin over the counter without there being a label telling you that, you know, of possible side effects. Well, you know, given the severity of the side effects and symptoms that people can get from eating dairy if their bodies don't tolerate it, at the very least, we should warn people that if you are lactose intolerant, that consuming this product is going to cause cramping, bloating, gas production, and diarrhea. I mean, there's nothing that you could sell someone that causes the symptoms and problems that dairy foods cause that would come without a warning label. I mean, everything else comes with a warning label. Dairy food should as well.
That makes total sense. I mean, you know, but in light of the marketing campaigns, well, do you expect success with that, or what?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm hopeful for success, but I the dairy industry is a very powerful industry, and they have, you know, very strong lobbyists. They have, you know, they have very deep pockets to hire a lot of lawyers to, and they're, you know, doing everything they can to keep this case tied up in the courts. Or get it, you know, kicked out of court, not because it has no merit, but on all sorts of technicalities. So, you know, it's going to be an uphill battle, and it's probably going to be a lengthy battle. But, you know, I am still hopeful that eventually we will prevail.
Okay. Well, we're talking to Dr. Milton Mills, a graduate of Stanford University School of Medicine, practicing in at Fairfax Hospital in Virginia and clinics throughout the Washington, D.C. area. We have another minute or two, maybe. And you're giving a lecture in Oakland this month, is it?
Yes. I'm actually going to be doing a health seminar series in Oakland the weekend of the 23rd. It's going to be sponsored by the Elmhurst Seventh-day Adventist Church, but this is a program that is designed for the community to try and raise awareness about various health issues and help people adopt a more healthy lifestyle so that, you know, they will, you know, reduce their risk for many of the diseases that we know are commonplace in communities of color. And the seminar start on Friday evening, the 23rd, and the lectures will be as I said, at the Elmhurst Seventh-day Adventist Church, which is at 98th and Thermal Avenues in East Oakland. The Friday night lecture is at 6:30. That will look at what is the optimal diet for good nutrition and longevity. The second lecture will be on Saturday afternoon at 3:30 at the same place, and that is going to look at diet and disease risk. Which diets promote higher disease risk and which diets reduce disease risk. And then the last lecture in the series is going to be Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And it's going to be on diet and lifestyle changes to treat and cure diabetes. And again, all the lectures take place at the Elmhurst Seventh-day Adventist Church. They're open to the public, free of charge, and we encourage everybody to come and learn how to change their diet to reduce their disease risk and improve their health and longevity.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, I don't think people should miss you in Oakland. That'll be wonderful. So I want to thank you, Dr. Mills, for being with us today. It was a great pleasure and quite enlightening, and I'm sure it was a wealth of information for our Valentine season and beyond.
Well, you're very welcome. It's my pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Okay, take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That's... playing some love songs for the Valentine's show. Some of the music I used to play when I had a real career in radio.
Sweet love and devotion, deeply touching my emotion. I want to stop. Thank you, baby. I want to stop. And thank you, baby. Yes, I do. How sweet it is to be loved.
And we continue on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. I think we should do our community events calendar. And by the way, wherever you go, wherever you travel, make sure you check happycow.net in advance so that you know where the vegan restaurants are and the health food stores. All you got to do is go to happycow.net with worldwide listings. So wherever you travel globally, the information is there. There's a global day of action against the Chinese fur industry, and a coalition is planning protests this coming Tuesday, which would be February 13th. That's happening around the United States and 10 other countries. And in Southern California, it is, as I said, this Tuesday starts at 11 a.m. at the Consulate General of the People's Republic of China at 443 Chateau Place in Los Angeles, S-H-A-T-T-O. So that's this Tuesday starting at 11 at 443 Chateau Place, the Consulate General of the People's Republic of China, in protest of the Chinese fur industry. And in Northern California, it is... it's Tuesday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the address is 1450 Laguna Street, 1450 Laguna Street, corner of Geary and Lombard, and that's happening this Tuesday. This Wednesday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, it's the St. Valentine's Day Massacre Celebrity Protest March Against Animal Experimentation at UCLA, starting at 11:30 in the morning, meeting at Westwood Boulevard and LeConte. And you have China and the Barbie twins and other celebrities will be protesting the massacre. That's business as usual on the UCLA campus, so join them if you can. Also this Wednesday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, join Last Chance for Animals in commemorating the 19th annual National Pet Theft Awareness Day. If you are in the LA area, the LCA news van will be out and about screening Dealing Dogs, the HBO documentary that was the Last Chance for Animals investigation. It's wonderful, and you can see it this coming Wednesday. It's going to be screened on the Animal News Van, and that's Dealing Dogs. And let's see. Also, the folks there will be handing out dog treats and toys and information on a special microchipping offer. And the Animal News Van will be at Runyon Canyon Dog Park, 10 a.m. to 11:30. That's at 2000 North Fuller in L.A. From noon to 1:30. And that's optimistic driving time in L.A., okay? From noon to 1:30 at Laurel Canyon Dog Park, which is 8260 Mulholland Drive. And in Studio City, that's where that dog park is. And then at the Sepulveda Basin Off-Leash Dog Park, which is at 17550 Victory Boulevard in Encino. That will be from 2 to 3:30. So if you want to see the documentary and get some dog treats, toys, find out about the microchipping offer, it's this Wednesday again, 10 a.m. to 11:30 at Runyon Canyon Dog Park in L.A., noon to 1:30 Laurel Canyon Dog Park in Studio City, 8260 Mulholland Drive, and then at 2 to 3:30 the Sepulveda Basin Off-Leash Dog Park. So what you want to do with all of this is prevent lost and stray dogs from ending up in experimentation labs, as you will see in the documentary if you haven't seen it already. That's what happened. And thank goodness for LCA and busting the country's largest Class B dealer. So the Pet Safety and Protection Act will be reintroduced to both the House and the Senate in 2007 and would amend the Animal Welfare Act to prohibit Class B dealers, such as CeCe Baird, who was busted by LCA. It would prohibit Class B dealers from supplying random source cats and dogs to torturous research facilities. Random source, that's what they're called, which means stolen, found, strays, wandering. Anyway, you can get on the action alert list regarding this legislation at lcanimal.org, lcanimal.org, and you can also visit stolenpets.com, stolenpets.com. Okay, well, coming up, Paula Abdul hosts the Star-Studded Concert for Indefensive Animals, and that's happening next Saturday, right? Okay, that's happening already. So Paula Abdul will be hosting this concert. It's an Indefensive Animal special event helping the animals still affected by Hurricane Katrina, as well as to launch IDA's Disaster Relief Fund to help animals in future disasters and other IDA rescue operations throughout the world. It's a highly anticipated event. Going to be amazing musical performances with the all-star band and special guest appearances. Chuck Negron from Three Dog Night, and Howard Scott from War, Robbie Dupree, Lester Chambers from the Chambers Brothers. The time has come today for you to go vegan. Stephen Bishop, a big animal rights supporter. A lot of good folks. Alan Michael Franks, a great favorite of mine. I used to play a lot on the radio when I was doing radio before it was snooze jazz. It was actually kind of interesting. But, you know, the consultants take over every format and ruin it. But anyway, for the special benefit with the Indefensive Animals, go to the website. It's idausa.org/concert, idausa.org, for updates and, you know, all the celebrities and luminaries who will be attending. I think you will enjoy this one next Saturday. The doors open 7:30 p.m. at Paramount Studios in Hollywood. Tickets $275 per person or $1,000, which includes two VIP tickets and the VIP sponsor celebrity reception. You can call 415-388-9641, 415-388-9641, or go to the website, as I said, idausa.org/concert. Hey, Meet Out is coming the first day of spring. Are you planning your event? Also, the Animal Rights Conference is coming to LA this summer, and details are at farmusa.org. Oh, Leo, I forgot spot break too, huh? Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. Yes, indeed. All right. Let's see. Where did I put my handy-dandy? Yes, okay. Of course, I want to tell you about a great friend of this radio show, a great supporter, Nutru. Yes, we talk about Omega Zen 3. And by the way, the only way we can afford to do this show is through your tax-deductible donations, which you can make online at goveganradio.com or goveganradio.org. Or you can mail your check to Go Vegan Radio, make it payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 40246, San Diego 92164. And we're also supported by advertisers, by sponsors of the show. And Nutru is with us every week, offering Omega Zen 3, a very important vegan product. You know, DHA is a long-chain omega-3 fatty acid. It's a critical nutrient. And DHA is one of the main components of brain tissue. It's required for all the proper functioning of all neural systems, including vision. And recent research has shown that other omega-3 fatty acids, such as LNA and EPA, do not have the same health effects as DHA does. In addition, the human body can only convert a small percentage of LNA or EPA to DHA. Therefore, DHA is the essential omega-3 fatty acid in the modern Western diet for which supplementation is indicated. And I would indicate Omega Zen 3 to you. It's in veggie caps or in liquid form. You know, Dr. Dean Ornish recommended taking 3 to 4 grams of talk about, you know, repulsive fish oil per day, which is the equivalent to 360 to 480 milligrams of DHA per day. But he also notes that fish contains saturated fat and cholesterol, so fish and fish oils tend to cause LDL, bad cholesterol levels, to increase. Therefore, by taking 1 or 2 capsules of Omega Zen 3, you can get the same amount of DHA recommended by Dr. Dean Ornish without the risk of increasing your cholesterol and all of those contaminants, you know, the mercury, the PCBs, all of that. And Omega Zen 3 has been found to be contaminant-free, and it is highly concentrated, highly concentrated. It's a wonderful product, and I hope that you will get it at Whole Foods, okay? So go to Whole Foods and get your Omega Zen 3. And, you know, the Natural Products Expo is coming up in Anaheim. The second week in March? What's it, around March 9th or so? And I'll be sharing a booth with Nutru there. I'll be spending a good amount of time, so hopefully you'll stop by at the Anaheim Convention Center and say hi to me and to Jim Donovan, a great supporter. This is a totally vegan company making Omega Zen 3, also introducing Tokachi 2, which is a very powerful vitamin E, and lycopene. You want it in vegan form? Well, you get it from Lyco 10-6 from Nutru.
M-E-A-T-S-T-I-N-K-S. Meat stinks.
So then don't eat it. Go to a restaurant that doesn't serve any meat. Go have wonderful vegan food at Truly, a vegan restaurant at 5907 Hollywood Boulevard in Hollywood, California. Of course it's in California, huh? 323-466-7958, 323-466-7958 for Truly. Truly delivers. Truly can cater your next event. And it says right on the menu, we want to make a positive and healthful contribution to society by using products that are animal-free. We are making a statement to ourselves and others that we are conscientious eaters acting toward the greater good of all beings, and see how good the greater good actually is by going to Truly. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, you will love Truly.
Why does Canada let the baby seals be killed? Shame on you, Canada.
Oh, we talk a lot about, and you know, sometimes they're trying to sell the seal products. Whoa, and we're really running out of time. Oh, can't believe it. Go to the website, govegan.freelife.com, for information on Himalayan goji juice. Please do that, govegan.freelife.com. Whew. Okay, we'll go out with James Taylor here, and I guess that's we're just about out of time, huh? All right. I wanted to welcome Peter Young back to freedom. He was just released. Animal liberator Peter Young has been liberated himself. On Thursday, February 1st, he walked through the doors of the Victorville Federal Correctional Facility, a free human, a hero, huh? In a world where no good deed goes unpunished, Young was rewarded with 2 years in prison for his heroic acts, and now he is free, and congratulations on his freedom. Happy Valentine's Day, and show love to the ones you love. Show love to the animals. Go vegan.